Join us all the way from Kettering this morning, and Brother Simon, we look forward to your words of exhortation you prepared for us.
Thanks, Chris. It is lovely to be with you all once more. There's lots of names that I don't recognise as members of Morvan. I recognise the name, so that's great. I'm actually quite grateful that we're Zooming today. I've made somewhat of a diary error. This is my first of 4 weeks in a row speaking. Somebody says Connect Four and you've won. Nobody's told me what the prize is, but nonetheless, four in a row. So the commute to the office, down the stairs, through the kitchen and into my study is welcome. Although I am very sad not to have banoffee pie or Esther's flapjacks. Frankly, pining for both of them. So what I want to talk to you about in terms of exhortation is the letter to the Colossians. If you would turn there, please. So Paul is writing the letter to Colossians from prison to a people he'd never met. And yet his love for them is second to none. Paul's love for his brothers and sisters is always there in all of his writings. You see it in Corinthians, you see it in Colossians, you see it throughout the scriptures, and you see it in Acts, that his love for his brothers is great. Come with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. He starts off with a prayer for his brothers and sisters. Verse 3, we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you heard it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. So Epaphras has preached the word in Colossae. He's brought it to them, and he's bringing a report back to the Apostle Paul, who is in prison. And there seem to be two schools of thought about where he's in prison. There's a sort of a Roman later imprisonment, or perhaps an Ephesian earlier imprisonment, and it doesn't really matter to the story that we have now, but it's quite interesting to think about where he might be in prison. But Paul is challenging the disciples at Colossae. If I say Corinth, I apologize, it's not what I'm going to mean, but it begins with a C, so anything could happen. He's encouraging the early believers in Colossae to a greater devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is trying to get them to become better disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he does throughout the whole of scripture. He challenges people to be better disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives them a hope. He gives them a reason for doing so. Come with me to verse 13 of the first chapter. Let's read verse 11 for context. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us, or the authorized version reads, translated us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And Paul draws on ideas that he uses elsewhere about a transference already to the kingdom. it's perhaps similar language to that of that which is used about Enoch. We know Enoch wasn't in the kingdom, but he was translated that he should not see death. Perhaps that's that he didn't see anybody die. It looks to me as though nobody had died at that point, or at least he would not have been alive to have seen anybody die. Anyway, it matters not. Paul is focusing the Colossians' minds on the kingdom and what it means to be citizens of the kingdom, just as he has in Romans. Can you come with me, please, to Romans and chapter 8? Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Paul says time and time again that the kingdom is there for us. It is there to be grasped or to be thrown away. We are in effect translated to that kingdom, but he says we've got to live a life that is worthy of it. So in effect, we're taken forward to the kingdom. We should be living kingdom lives now, Paul says. And he comes to a greater detail in Colossians chapter 2, if you'll come there, please. He says that you have been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through flesh in the powerful working of God who raised you from the dead. And Paul's point is, you've got rid of the flesh. You've got rid of the ideas of the flesh. It's a theme that he's brought up in Romans and chapter 6, and you'll know it, and we won't turn there because you'll know it better than I will. Well, he's brought up that idea again of getting rid of the flesh, and he's going to develop an idea, and it's going to take him nearly 20 verses to say get what to put on, but we'll come to that in a moment. So he says that the Colossians, are complete in the Lord Jesus. Verse 10, I was reading the ESV then, the King James says, for you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are completed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is lacking in ourselves is made up through the Lord Jesus Christ. And by baptism, they have put off the old man. And so Paul, in the chapters that we read today, certainly in chapter 3, says, because you've done this, go on to do this. Verse 1 of chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. If you've been translated from the now to the future, live that future life. Be translated in your mind, in your actions, in your life, and so live according to what the Lord Jesus has done for you. So Paul talks again of getting rid of things in chapter 3, verse 5. He says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self." But Paul talks about having a new set of clothes. He talks about a complete change. And he talks about a new set of clothes to put on. He says, put off the old self and put on the new self. But what does that set of clothes look like? And he goes on to tell us. This is probably the only time that I will ever talk about fashion sense, having none myself. Please no comments about that. Paul says in verse 12 of chapter 3, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, meekness, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. So the Apostle Paul says, get dressed in a different set of clothes in the morning. It's quite apt for our lockdown life, isn't it? The psychologists say, get dressed in the morning. Make sure that you are showered and dressed. It is good for your mental health to go through some of the routine that you would normally go through. And it will avoid shocks when you actually do go back to the office. So Paul says, get dressed in these set of clothes, and as an overcoat or as a belt to hold the whole outfit together, put on love. And I'd like to talk just briefly about a few things that Peter suggests that we wear. Verse 17, and perhaps this is just the style of clothes that we wear. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The Apostle Paul, he says, put that logo on your chest. I don't know who's been watching the rugby over the last couple of days. Those of us who are Wales supporters will never buy Isuzus again after the abysmal play that's been happening over the last few weeks. But Isuzu decide that they are happy with the image of the Welsh rugby team being strong. Strong, and identifying with their vehicles, and they've identified that, and they've put them on the Welsh rugby shirt, and that's what we've got on our shirt, isn't it? Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, just as somebody who is a brand representative would wear that shirt, that name on their shirt, So you and I wear the Lord Jesus on our outer garments. Our brand identity is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as a kit sponsor would want their team to represent their image and their identity, so the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to represent his image and identity. He wants us to represent what he represents, to be like him. When I go on a site visit with work, I work for Severn Trent, quite often wear a Severn Trent t-shirt. And those of you who know my driving style will know that it sometimes needs a little bit of calming down. And it does help to remember that I've got a Severn Trent t-shirt on, that I'm representing a brand. When I'm walking out on site, I'm wearing Severn Trent high visibility clothes, and you're representing a brand. And to think that we have Jesus on our clothing as our brand identity perhaps would help us to remember who we are and who we serve. So we've got a brand identity. We've got clothing that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to let verse 16, the word of Christ, dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So to help establish that brand identity, we've got to take on the brand. We've got to read the brand documentation. And the Lord Jesus Christ did, didn't he? He took on his Heavenly Father's word. He took on the words and answered every situation with what the Lord God, his Father, had said. Come with me, please, to Luke and chapter 4. And this is the example that we get, isn't it, of the Lord Jesus Christ answering everything with Scripture. Just as I am expected on site to toe the company line, whatever I may think about it, so the Lord Jesus Christ used his Father's words in what he says. Please don't take me wrong. I am not suggesting that the Lord God is a brand, but I think you'll get the point. So Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, in answering his temptation, the Lord Jesus said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And then verse 8, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve." And again, verse 12, "It is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And Jesus answers his temptation with Scripture, and he uses Scripture in all his life, doesn't he? He has taken it on board. He has assimilated it into his very identity. As the Word made flesh, he was able to be the distilled Word of God and to show it at all times. So we've put on our brand identity. We've put on the Lord Jesus. We're wearing him on the outside of our garments, influencing us to think and to act in the right way. But we also need to let the peace of the Lord God reign in our hearts. Come back with me to Colossians and chapter 3, and looking at verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Well, how do we let the peace of God rule in our hearts? How do we let that influence ourselves, to influence our actions, and to influence our thought processes? Come with me to Philippians, please, and chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. It gives us the how-to. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, don't worry about anything, but in everything, let prayer and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God's peace there is given to us by passing everything to him in prayer, by giving him everything and passing our worries, our thoughts to him. A problem shared, they say, is a problem halved. It's not even that, is it, with the Lord God? A problem shared is really that problem taken away. We may worry about it, but we need to know that God is in control. And then we need to put on love. Going back to Colossians, verse 14 of chapter 3, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The love is the thing that holds the outfit together. It's that which helps us to remain in a state, remain dressed properly. Get dressed every morning, the Apostle Paul says, putting on love, because it brings the outfit together and it helps us put on Christ, that new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, and put on the new self, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So we're putting on love, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, please. And verse 13. Verse 12 for context. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to wear him and his love on the outside, because we've been translated, like the Colossians, to his kingdom. We need to live that kingdom life, and we pray that it will come soon. Now we're going to remember the Lord Jesus in bread and wine. We're going to remember his life of perfect obedience, and his death of obedience, his blood poured out on the cross. But most of all, we're going to remember his love for us in laying down his life for his friends. Thank you.